This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Well, before we begin, just this word, since this is Christmas week, December 23rd through 27th, we're simply going to share some of my favorite Christmas stories that I've told over 30 years on the radio. I think it'll be a blessing to you this Christmas, 2013. One of my favorite, absolute favorite Christmas stories is one that I've never told here before, but I'm not only going to tell it at the beginning, I'm going to weave it into the message because it's a great story, a true story out of the Depression in the 1930s. Lillian Smith is an author who grew up in the South. She said she grew up in a farm in the South. They were so poor, she said even the bank didn't know how little money the family had. And if you can believe this, that a husband and father would do this, I don't know of any husband or father that would do this, but on Christmas Eve day, they looked out the window of their house and their father was walking up their lane with 48 state prisoners in uniforms with the stripes. They'd been staying in two railroad cars on a railroad siding and they were working on a state highway. And Lillian Smith's father said, "All of you are coming to our house Christmas Eve for a Christmas dinner." And of course, I mean, you can imagine having 48 guests, but 48 unusual guests. Listen to how she puts it. He invited the local chain gang who were working on the state highway to come home for Christmas dinner. 48 men, white and black, in prison uniforms came marching down the lane. Two guards accompanied them carrying double-barrel sawed-off 12-gauge shotguns. Eight of the men were lifers. Six of them were in pairs. Their legs were chained together. They were considered flight risks. 10 were murderers, one having killed his own grandmother. Two were bank robbers. Three were car thieves. One was an arsonist. And those were the guests that they had for Christmas dinner. And some of you are worried about your in-laws coming. I don't get it. You're worried about a brother-in-law or a sister-in-law and what they're going to do at your Christmas dinner. Before they sat down to dinner, this is so powerful. Lillian Smith said her dad went to each man, put out his hand and said, "Glad you're here at our house for dinner. Welcome to our home." And then Lillian Smith said her dad took down the family Bible before they ate and he read the passage that I'm going to read to you today. So what I want you to do as you're listening to this, picture the scene of this big farmhouse in the South, with men in the living room, in the dining room, in the kitchen, and pouring out onto the front porch of the house with two armed guards standing watch over them. And here's what they heard from Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." One of the most important statements in the Gospels, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. He gave him the name Jesus. Well, all this week, we're simply sharing my favorite Christmas stories as they relate to Christmas week 2013. A different story every day or a different thought. God bless you as you listen on this Christmas Eve day, 2013. Very rarely am I touched by
some Christmas stories that have been written, because I know this sounds terrible to say, but you know, a lot of Christmas stories are cheesy, or whatever words you use or whatever people use, corny, whatever. But I was deeply moved by reading a true story written by a woman by the name of Jean Geetson. Jean lived in North Dakota in the 1940s. Her father worked for an oil company in North Dakota. The company moved him around to different parts of the country and different parts of the state. And somehow during the moves, and I can relate to this, if you've ever moved, you lose things. How many of you ever lost something in a move? You say, I still can't find that vase that we had in such and such a house, but it's gone. We've lost things that we cannot find. They lost their nativity set. So Christmas 1943, Jean Geetson said her mother went out to the local dime store in the small town in North Dakota and bought a nativity set. They got the nativity set home, and they discovered something that people wouldn't even think about today, but in small town America in the 1940s, it was a big deal. There were two baby Jesuses in the nativity set. You know, they had the three shepherds and all the characters, but there were two infant Jesuses in that. And it really bothered her mother. She thought, well, there's some other nativity set up at the dime store that somebody's going to buy, and they're going to get home on Christmas or whatever, and they're going to find that it's missing the Jesus. So she convinced the store owner to put a sign up in his store: if you're missing Jesus, call 7126. Honest to goodness, that's what she did. And it was just a four-digit phone number back in the 40s. If you're missing Jesus, call 7126. So all Christmas Eve and the days before Christmas, Jean said her brothers and sisters, they were waiting for the phone to ring, thinking somebody's going to call. But nobody called. Until late Christmas Eve, somebody didn't call for Jesus, but it was a woman who called the house and said, my husband just left me 2 or 3 days ago, and my furnace broke, and my kids have no food. We're freezing here. We're shivering in the cold in North Dakota in December. And I saw, I cleaned the dime store. I'm the lady who comes in at night and cleans. I've got three children. And I saw the sign, if you're missing Jesus, call 7126. And that's all that's been going over in my mind, 7126, your phone number. And I just called. And you know what happened? That family went over and took food and gifts for the children. And her dad fixed the furnace that was broken, and he arranged for delivery of fuel oil on Christmas Eve night. And that was the most satisfying Christmas, because there was a mistake in the packaging. And then Jean Geetson says at the end of her story, but it really wasn't a mistake. The Lord had planned it. What would the Lord want to do in your life that you think is an accident, but it's all part of the plan? I can tell you part of it is that you love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind this Christmas. That you recognize that Jesus is Lord at His birth, not just at the cross. That you recognize that what Harry Reasoner says is that Christmas is utterly, completely false, or it's the truest thing in the world.
Well, my prayer for all of our listeners to Cross Hope is that Christmas is the truest thing in the world in your life, because Jesus is the truest one in your life. He not only reigns at the holiday, He reigns in your life 24/7. He's the Lord of your life. That's our prayer for you from Cross Hope Radio Ministry. Well, if you've been listening to our program this week, you know we're doing something a little different Christmas week. We're sharing my favorite Christmas stories that I've used both in person, at church, and on the radio for the last 30 years. This is one of my favorite stories, using it on Christmas Day 2013.
No other Christmas carol, and I mean no other Christmas carol, is considered more beautiful, more sung, and more synonymous with Christmas than the Christmas carol first sung in 1818, known as Silent Night. There's no other carol or piece of music associated more with Christmas than that hymn written by Franz Gruber and Joseph Moore. As I understand the story, the carol was first performed at the Church of St. Nicholas in Oberndorf, Austria, December 25th, 1818. Moore had composed the words earlier in 1816, but on Christmas Eve, 1818, he brought them to a Franz Gruber, the church organist, and asked him to compose a melody and guitar accompaniment for them. The reason for this was that the organ at the church was not working that night. At first, Gruber did not agree with Moore's proposal because he was afraid that that people who came to church wouldn't like the music which was played with the guitar. But there was nothing else to do. Gruber finally accepted Moore's proposal and worked on the music. When the music was composed, it was only a few hours before the service began. At first, people in the church were surprised to listen to the music because it was only accompanied by a guitar, but soon they were charmed by its beautiful melody. Now, what's remarkable to me about the lyrics of Silent Night is this, the third verse that's in our hymn book. But I want you to listen to the third verse because I think sometimes we're so familiar with the lyrics of a song, we don't even think about what the lyrics mean. That happens with everyday songs where we sing songs on the radio, with the radio. We don't have a clue what they're talking about. We just sing the lyrics. Why? Because we've heard them over and over. Listen to the third verse of the hymn, Silent Night. Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God, love's pure light. Radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. And here's the phrase I want you to go home with if you don't remember anything else. It's this phrase right here. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
God bless you all. Merry Christmas from Cross Hope Radio Ministry. Well, all this week, Christmas week 2013, we're sharing my favorite Christmas stories, excerpts from some of my favorite Christmas messages that I've given over the radio and in person for the last 30 years. I want you to listen to a powerful story about forgiveness. Christmas is about forgiveness, and forgiveness is about Christmas. You don't believe it? Listen to this story.
Fourthly, love can win over hatred. You've got to believe this as well, that love trumps hatred. You work with hateful people, perhaps. Admit it, there are people you know that speak of their hatred. And this may surprise you to say this, but I really believe that one of the most horrible things a Christian man or woman can say is not let out a sentence of profanity. Although that can be shocking sometimes, but long ago I'm not shocked even when I hear a Christian use profanity. I'm not saying that's right, I'm just not shocked anymore. But I'll tell you what still shocks me and stuns me is when I hear a man or woman who believes in Jesus Christ and then says about a person, I hate him. Oh, how I hate her. That is something that is antithetical to being a Christian. I'm going to tell you a powerful story that touched people in a deep, profound way because I found out that more people have gone through something like I'm going to describe to you than I realized. But this minister friend of mine told me years ago that he went through all his teen years. And he said, Randy, you may not believe this. He said, but I never spoke to my father. Never. He didn't go into why. He didn't go into what happened. And I always felt there had to be something
drastic that happened for a man to say, I didn't speak to my father at all. And I even asked a Christian psychologist friend that I've referenced here before, and I said, what do you think was going on there? And he said, Randy, there had to have been some kind of substance abuse, drug or alcohol abuse. There had to be some kind of physical abuse going on. Maybe he brutalized his mother. There's something going on there that to explain why he never spoke to his dad. His dad died. He said he stoically went to the funeral, didn't shed one tear at his own father's funeral. That's not the end of the story. 20 years after his dad was dead and buried, he told me that he went to his father's grave for the first time after the funeral. He waited 20 years. And then he said, if you can believe this, he said, I started talking to my dad. 20 years after he was put in the ground, he said, I started talking as if he were right there, and I started looking at his headstone, and I was talking to my dad and pouring out all these thoughts about what was going on, some of my resentment and my bitterness. And then he said, I shocked myself. He said, I asked for my dad's forgiveness. He said, I'm sorry for denying my father a relationship with me. He said, I realized that the part of that was me. It's not all his fault. May I tell you something that's more tragic than that? Than a minister friend of mine who went to his father's grave to talk to his dad 20 years after he was buried is to know that there are people who come to church here and people in every ministry I've had who've denied God the Father a relationship with him through the Son. And someday I can picture them standing before the Lord and say, Lord, you don't understand. I was busy. I had a career to think of. I had places to go. I had people to see. I had things to do. I was busy with my life, busy with my children, busy with this and busy with that. And they denied God the Father a relationship because they never had that relationship with God the Son.
Well, I can tell you, our prayer for all of you listening to Cross Hope is that you have a relationship with God the Father this Christmas through God the Son. Life is in the Son. He who has the Son of God has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. God bless you. Well, if you're a regular listener to Cross Hope, you know we've been sharing special messages each day this week on Christmas week 2013. Just some of my favorite stories or favorite thoughts I've shared on the radio over the last 30 years. Today, a thought by Dr. Henry Blackaby about the end of the year. I think it speaks to the end of your year in 2013 as you look forward to 2014. God bless you as you listen. Henry Blackaby wrote the book Experiencing God. Some of you saw the video series, you've got the book. And Henry Blackaby says the end of the year serves a twofold spiritual purpose. I've never heard anyone say this before. But everybody in the first two services said, that spoke to me today. Here's what Blackaby says. The end of the year, November and December, has a corrective capacity, a corrective component. That God wants to correct something in your life. There's something going on in your life, an attitude towards somebody that you work with, an attitude towards somebody in your family. And the Lord says, no, I'm going to correct that at the end of the year. As you come up to the new year, we're going to correct that this year. Then he says it's not only a corrective component, but there is a preparatory component where God uses the end of the year to prepare you for something that you're going to be doing, saying, or thinking. I think he's right. Every person in this room can think of something the Lord needs to correct at the end of this year before the 31st. And everybody in this room can think of something the Lord perhaps is preparing you for, and he's using the end of the year for corrective and preparatory purposes in your life. We're going to read an interesting passage that I've never preached from before in my life. It's where Moses, God's man, is giving a message to the people of Israel. They're on the east side of the Jordan River in Israel, and they're about ready to cross over into the Promised Land. They've been wandering for 40 years, and they're getting ready to cross over into the Promised Land, and he gives them a word. And I want you to notice how simplistic it is. It's not involved. It's not deep. In fact, even Moses said, this isn't rocket science, so to speak. He said, this is simple. I want you to follow along as I read from Deuteronomy 30 in the Old Testament, beginning at verse 11. Moses says this, now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. This is interesting. It's in your mouth, and it's in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you, I'm not suggesting this, he says, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But listen to the warning of verse 17. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. Get that? He didn't say the Lord will show you life. The Lord is your life. Well, next week on Cross Hope, the most requested message I've ever given on the radio in over 30 years. What's it about? Anger from the book of James on the Family Talk Channel next week on Cross Hope.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.